Hello and welcome to Corny and Barrow's podcast. Today I am joined by regular old timer Will Hargrove.
Hello.
And new kid on the block in terms of podcasts, Mark Ditcham, who is heading up our Bordeaux en Primeur campaigns.
Hello as well.
I'm quite excited about today's podcast, because it's based around Bordeaux en Primeur and the fact that Corny and Barrow recently sent out a questionnaire to a number of our customers. And I am very interested in hearing what people had to say. But first, Mark, would you be so kind as to give us a little potted history about en Primeur and Bordeaux?
Yes, indeed. So the Bordeaux en Primeur system is quite an antiquated system that's been around for a couple of hundred years. It involves various layers: chateau owners, courtiers, negotiants, merchants, and indeed the final customer. But simplistically put, it was a chance for chateau owners to sell their wines ahead of the wine being bottled. So it would allow cash flow for them, selling the wines off as futures, but it would allow the customer the chance to actually buy the wine at a discount before it was released in bottle. It also allowed customers to choose the format of their liking as well. And in situations whereby some of the wines are highly desirable and potentially rare, it's a chance for customers to buy these sought-after wines.
Okay. Will, this survey was kind of a big thing for Corny and Barrow to do. I don't think we've done anything like it before. Why did we do it? Why was it important for us to do this?
Yeah, so I think there's a few reasons, but I mean, we do deal in some places in Bordeaux with people we buy from directly, and that is sort of apart from this conversation, really. Exactly as Mark mentions, you know, the Place de Bordeaux, which is the collective term for the sort of courtiers and the negotiants, deal with maybe 90% of the wines that are released in Bordeaux. And over the last, let's say, 10, 15 years, there's been a sort of constant frisson of chat from both customers and merchants and negotiant chateaus about pricing for various campaigns, because exactly as Mark says, the chateaus are getting cash flow from selling the wine earlier, typically as it is now. You know, we're just about, this April, we're just about to go and taste, you know, so we're tasting the wines that were made September, October last year, so 6 months later, so they're getting cash flow. And the real idea is that should trickle down the chain, and that the reward the private customer traditionally gets for buying the wine early, pre-bottling in the formats they want, exactly the same point Mark was making, is that they get an advantageous price over what the price of the wine will be once it's bottled and you know, on shelves or ready for people to sell and start opening bottles. That detachment between the reward the customer gets for giving that money up front and the way that the system works, that has become sort of quite fractious in several vintages. And that advantage of buying early, in some cases, is not there, because the wine is sold at a price quite similar to the market price of a vintage that might be 8, 10, 12 years older. And so therefore customers, and we've been saying this on customers' behalf for a long time, is, you know, that we need to give these customers an incentive to buy the wine up front. So rather than it be sort of whinging London wine merchants talking to the negotiants and the chateaus and saying, come on, it needs to be, you know, the prices need to be cheaper or need to show better value to the end customer, we thought, well, actually, rather than banging on about it and having these conversations that can be quite repetitive from year to year, let's ask our customers. So exactly as you mentioned, we sent it to several thousand Bordeaux customers, and we had a response rate very nearly at the 15% mark, which for anyone who's done surveys will know, if you get above 5% in a reply for a survey, you should be pretty chuffed with yourself. So
yeah,
that was a great response.
Yeah, that's an impressive response. Okay, Mark, so the results of the survey, what sort of things were coming back from our customers? What were we being told?
Well, it was great to see that over half questioned were still very much interested in Bordeaux. It's still a very important region for our customers. So that's great news, being a Bordeaux house. I mean, that's our bread and butter predominantly. So that is important. Unfortunately, over 50% that were questioned are less interested than they were 5 years ago. So obviously something needs to change. We could be quite lazy and say that's down to price being less advantageous than it was a few years ago. Or that could be to do also with our behalf as well, things that we're not doing correctly and which we need to improve, which can probably come on to a bit later. There also seems to be less appetite to buy long-term cellaring wines. That may be a consequence of demographic being slightly older than what they used to, but also customers may be looking outside of Bordeaux in terms of what they're willing to pay money on now. I mean, the wine world is vast and huge and ever-increasing and changing, so it's not just Bordeaux that people are interested in, Bordeaux and Burgundy being the two predominant sort of regions for fine wine collectors. They're also looking to drink these wines as well than resale, which is maybe a big shift since 2005, 2008 or so, which were strong vintages, 08 with the sort of helping of Parker, I think, and some of the prices dropped after a couple of weeks of release. So what we have found, though, is that pricing does affect the majority of people's purchasing habits. Pricing is now seem to be too high than what it used to be. And we have also seen that as well. Year on year, pricing has gone up 10, 20%. And I think it's the last great vintage when it came to buying a discount and made it an important decision and a commercial decision for customers was probably the 2019 vintage during COVID, the COVID vintage. So the Chateau and Negociants, obviously they're kind of at the behest of the Chateau. They need to start understanding that customers do have luxury of choice now and they don't need to buy Bordeaux on release because, as Will was saying quite rightly earlier, they can now pick these vintages up, these comparable vintages, at a price might be less expensive than what it was on initial release. So there's no advantage to be gained now from the on-premier system. But hopefully with the 23 vintage, this will change and there will be discounts over the 2022, which is what we'd like to see. And it should make sense for the Chateau and the Negociants and the Courtiers to each get their share. I think customers find it quite a complicated system. It's quite convoluted in terms of the layering, even explaining it earlier with the Courtiers and the Negociants and the Chateau. Why are so many people involved when customers may just think it's our direct line of communication with the Chateau? But no, there's two other intermediaries and middlemen that are each taking their small percentage. And with every link of the chain, there comes confusion. I think transparency is key for customers, and we will try and make sure that that's as user-friendly as possible. But it's still quite hard if they're not willing to make the transition to a more modern, simple approach to selling wine. It still has to go through these chains.
And Will, was there anything that jumped out at you or you were pleased to see or you were surprised by or anything that particularly disappointed you?
Yeah, no, good question. I mean, yes, is the honest answer in terms of, I think actually the fact that customers are, as we are, I mean, Corning Barrow is a Bordeaux house. We've been selling Bordeaux for well over 200 years. Obviously, I've not been here for the whole of that. But we love Bordeaux, and actually the fact that the return rate of the response rate was so high, and the fact that actually a lot of people, when you read into the questions, and by the way, it's all linked up on our library website, and we'll be sending this out with our vintage report, is that there is genuine interest there. This is not a sort of it's irrelevant to me type response, although there is a little bit of that. But the main response is that, you know, we want this to work. Bordeaux is important. Exactly as Mark says, it doesn't have maybe the market share or the sort of bottle share of people's cellar that Bordeaux would have done when I, you know, back when I started in the wine trade, so 25 years ago. So they've lost a little bit of share there. But I think people generally want it to work, you know, and I think the system can work. But exactly as Mark mentioned, you know, if you have to go back to 2019 to really find a vintage where people went, oh, I need to buy that now, or I'm going to end up not finding it later, or I'm going to pay more for it later. And it's not about, and we don't actively go after at all, and we have no vehicle for investment. We're not talking about investment. We're talking about people just feeling that they got the best price for something, because we love the wines. The wines are indisputably as good and in many cases better than ever in Bordeaux. And so this is really, really, you know, really, really critical to things. And so I think what we've done, and if I might go on a little bit to explain a little bit about what we're now going to do with the survey. And in fact, I've sent it to about 80 of our contacts in Bordeaux, a mixture of négociants, people we work with directly so that they're aware, although it's not quite so relevant to them, and then other properties, and said, look, this is a survey we've done. We actually entitled the email, "Don't Shoot the Messenger," because we don't really want to get shot. But we feel we're doing a good job by our customers in asking Bordeaux about this and actually giving Bordeaux a fair response to that. So we've not sent it to other trade colleagues yet. We've not sent it to the press or anything like that. We want to talk to the chateaus and support the negotiations in asking for better pricing. And it's not as straightforward as asking for a particular discount, although we definitely want to see 23s down in price on 22s. But some people did very different things from 19 onwards. Some people stayed quite low after 19. Some people went straight back up. So it's not as straightforward as saying, oh, we want 23 to be 25, 30, 35% cheaper than 22. Although those are the kind of scale of change we'd like. This is more about understanding individual chateaus, because some of them have priced themselves very well. They've released early and they priced themselves very well the last few vintages. And so we don't want to sort of throw the baby out with the bathwater on that. But it's going to lead to some interesting conversations. And frankly, that's the aim of the survey, is to put our customers' stance and ours on their behalf forward to the chateaus and talk to them about it.
Yeah, it's definitely good to have data. I am a fan of data.
No, you'll never tree. I can't believe it.
I do like a spreadsheet. Okay, so we talked about, or Mark touched on, the fact that people would like things to be a little more simplified, maybe. It is very confusing. Mark, for the 2023 campaign, what's Corney and Barrow doing to support that? Are we doing anything new?
So for this campaign, we're going to be using and operating a pre-order mechanism, which we haven't done before. We're going to be sending this out to all of our customers. There's going to be a list of the chateaus, maybe 50, 60 chateaus, and a price parameter, which we'd like to see the wine priced at. Mm-hmm. And being an independent merchant, we're impartial. So there'll be our tasting notes and scores alongside the chateau. And if we feel it's a price that we think makes sense, we will ask the customers for a commitment to buy. That's not contractual, but at least it will show that there is a level of interest in that particular property. And me as a buyer, it will allow me on the day to try my best alongside my colleague Max Edge, who's helping me this year, to speak to the negotiants and to effectively place an order. I'll probably speak to them beforehand to say, this is our level of interest at this price point. And if it works, and then it works. So on the morning of a release, it can be incredibly busy. And sometimes you're a little deer in the headlights when it comes to, does this price work? Is it a good reflection of the quality? Is it better than last year in terms of quality or price?
Yeah.
So by having this bank of information and this data, it will actually allow me to be more proactive on the morning and to speak to negotiants and to actually go out there and start buying, which will make my life hopefully a lot easier on the day, rather than it being a sort of frenzied system of, is this going to work or is this not? And who's interested and who's not, with the salespeople and the customers. So we're trying to make it as slick and succinct as possible in what is quite a difficult operation.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting one from that point of view. And I think that is a good idea. I mean, it's exactly as you say, that the sort of deer in the headlights thing can happen on release days. And as people be aware, we have in the UK, one or two bank holidays in May. The French have quite a few saints days. So it does get quite broken up. And I think just to sort of slightly go back to a little bit on the survey, one of the things a few people mentioned, and as merchants, we would agree with this, is to it would be wonderful if there was a little bit more coherence to the order of releases. This has improved, and we've already started to see a schedule of when some of the wines are proposing to come out, and it's going to be quick. We get back on the 24th of April, and there may well be releases as early as the 29th, the following Monday. And I think this is good. We want a relatively quick fire campaign that doesn't sort of get unnecessarily long, but at the same time, we don't want 10 significant wines coming out in the same morning, because it can become, well, a mess, quite frankly. That I think is one of the changes, exactly as Mark talks about. We're just trying to get a feel up front for what customers, should prices be good, what customers will want, which will allow us hopefully to be slicker at getting those things off the negotiations. But yeah, you can. It's probably an all-time high on the email front when we get into a busy release day. It's almost so much you just sort of can't reply to things without more arriving at the same time. So yeah, it's a bit of a manic old time.
It is indeed.
Just to follow on from Will's point, I was actually looking at the calendar of releases this morning, and it made me laugh because one of the big releases of a name I won't mention, but on is planned for the 6th of May, which is actually a bank holiday in the UK. So that just shows you just how ridiculous it can be sometimes that the French, with one of the releasing a few wines on a bank holiday in England and the UK. So no one will be here to actually supervise that.
And it's which is a weird one on the basis as well that, you know, that this is going to be a campaign, I think it's fairly blunt to say, where Asia is buying less, and China in specifically, who's been quite a big on Premier campaign, or quite a big on Premier buyer rather, and the Americans tend to either come in for a vintage or not. I mean, it's not quite that simple, obviously, but they tend to either be big buyers of a certain vintage or not. And the rumours are they're not going to be a massive buyer. So, yes, when Bordeaux is going to depend to a certain degree on the UK market and London being a real mainstay of the world wine trade, yes, releasing on a bank holiday is a slightly odd one. Let's see. Maybe it'll adjust. Who knows?
It'll be pushed back, yes.
Right, and Mark, the 2023 vintage, as that is what is about to be released, what do you have any thoughts about it? Do you have what are the wines going to be like, do we think?
Well, first, it's going to be my first time in Bordeaux tasting on Premier, so I'm very excited to go there and to taste wines of the region. Mm-hmm. 2023, from reading some vintage reports, I think it's fair to say it's not going to be an excellent vintage. It's maybe a 4 out of 5 star vintage. But there's some delightful wines from having spoken to various négociants over the last couple of weeks. There's some certainly good wines to be had out there. Whether the price sits at a level that makes customers buy is another matter, but yeah, I think when it comes to the reds, looking at my notes, some of the alcohol levels are a little bit less than 2022, which is no bad thing. The biggest concern is mildew, which is affected or the appellations across the region. But there's no heterogeneity there. I don't think it's affected every appellation, so it's been quite patchworky in terms of where it's affected, and this just means that the grapes haven't developed a complexity and sometimes might be lacking the ripeness of some other vintage counterparts. So yeah, I'm very excited to taste the reds. It's supposed to be a great vintage for whites and stunning for sweet wines, but until I go out and taste, I won't be able to pass much more comment than that.
Okay. Will, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think I completely agree with those comments. I think what I'm hoping for, I think, is a vintage that does what Bordeaux can do so well, which is to have balanced wines that show the characteristics of whether you're, you know, predominantly Merlot on the right bank, predominantly Cabernet Sauvignon to simplify on the left bank. So I'm looking for the for good medium-term drinking wines that will be accessible. I think wines that have been sensitively made, and what do I mean by that? I mean, if you get these vintages we've had recently where there's almost an excess of warmth and sun, like 18, 19, arguably 22, and you could go back a bit more, you know, those vintages lend themselves to a certain amount of power and to longevity and to substantial wines. And with 23 maybe being a little bit cooler, and I would completely concur with what Mark says about a sort of four-star vintage, I think that's the perception. So you might put it on a par with a vintage like 14 or 17, maybe 12. A lot of the wines of which I really love and actually kind of love already. So I'm expecting and hoping that we will have a if you like, refreshing, digestible, mid-weight, very Bordelais. I'm trying to avoid saying a certain word that starts with C and ends with C because it's massively overused. That's classic, by the way. So I think it's going to be one of those vintages. Well, the whites will be interesting. I like white Bordeaux commercially and in volume. It's not a big thing. And the sweet wines, yeah, will be great. But I would personally would love to see them released in bottle. A little bit later on, I think that would do them a favour. But because of a slight turn against sweeter wines in some cases, although Tree is a notable exception because she loves her turn.
I
think turning away from that has meant that they're actually probably some of the chateaus that can least afford not to sell a little bit of wine through on premier because it helps with the cash flow. But I would love to see those done later. But yeah, I'm excited. It'll be around about my sort of 10th or 11th year of going, and we're there for a full duration as a whole team, and we will be covering it on whether that's Instagram, blogs, Guy Seddon, who does the vast majority of our notes and vintage report and things, that'll be coming out very soon, and some there'll be some blogs, we'll do the individual offers from the properties with the Merckx family and Petrus and with the Mitchellville family and Peter Sissek at Rocheron. We'll do those as separate standalone offers as we always do. But yeah, I'm always excited by it. I love the balance of wine, and I think Bordeaux deserves to be in any wine lover's cellar, along with the other great regions and some quirkier regions too. So it's a big part of the balance of wine for me. So looking forward to it.
And you did mention whites and sauternes and the yummy stuff. How did they fare in the feedback from customers? Is there still interest in buying on premier, or Is that waning?
I think it is. I think it is waning in terms of the sweet wines, because I think there's been such a run of very good vintages, and you can buy accessible versions of those vintages with whether you like them at 5, 10 years old or 20, 30 years old. You know, you can buy those wines. I think white Bordeaux, I think people should promote and do a little bit better with, but the wine should, for my mind, be shipped over quite quickly. But Mark, how much will you be keeping an eye, do you think, on the whites and sweets? I mean, it's tricky, isn't it?
I think there's definitely a lot more interest in Bordeaux whites now as the price of Burgundy increases. Not that they're comparable in any way, but the more that people and customers and indeed salespeople, the people that you speak to in the trade, the more that they taste the great whites of Bordeaux, the more they're impressed. And they can last. I mean, they're amazing wines. Not just, well, they can be youthful and bright and pretty and dainty, but they can also be quite serious as well. At the top level, there's maybe a handful of wines that that really stand above that sort of swaffing of wine.
Oh.
I'm not sure if that makes sense.
Makes sense to me. Well, chaps, I wish you an absolutely smashing trip. I hope you have, I hope your taste buds manage to hold up after tasting all of the wines that you're going to be trying for us. And undoubtedly, I will be chatting to some of the team upon your return and picking your brains about what you've been up to and what you've been tasting. So thank you very much, Will.
My pleasure, Tree, as ever.
And thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Good to talk.